And speaking of technological leaps in the crazy intertwined web of blockchain and cryptography, CORR, you won't believe what I've been up to recently. I've managed to generate code that can parse a couple of X.509 certificates, and I've also started on an almost D-native implementation of TLS 1.3. It's mind-boggling how deeply technical this stuff can get.
No way, Jack. That sounds intense, but also super impressive. For those out there who might not be as familiar, can you break down X.509 certificates and TLS 1.3 in layman's terms?
Sure thing. So X.509 certificates are basically digital documents used to verify that a public key belongs to the person or entity it claims to. Think of it like an online ID card that lets you confirm someone's identity securely over the internet. As for TLS 1.3, it's a protocol that helps encrypt data being sent over the internet so that you can browse and send information securely. It's like sending secret notes in a locked box that only the recipient can open.
Got it. That makes it a bit easier to digest. But hold on, you said D-native implementation? Are we talking about the D programming language here?
Exactly. D is a language with C-like syntax that's geared towards system programming, giving you the low-level control akin to C++, but with a higher-level ease of use. I'm focusing on an implementation that excludes the cryptographic primitives for now. It's like building a car without the engine. The components are there, but I need to incorporate the cryptographic heavy lifting later.
It's like putting together a complex puzzle, but with some pieces missing, huh? Speaking of which, it's wild that amidst such advancements, we still have crypto sagas, like the one involving Zhao's pardon and Trump's meme coin fiascos.
Tell me about it. It's surreal. Zhao's guilty plea for enabling money laundering, serving 4 months in prison, and then getting pardoned by Trump almost sounds like a plot twist from a thriller. Add to that, the Trump family's own crypto ventures and the involvement of Binance, it's as if you threw a soap opera into the blockchain.
Exactly. And it seems there's always some new controversy surfacing in the crypto world. Did you catch the latest about the token airdrops to wallets tied to the Trump meme coin team? They airdropped MET tokens totaling $4.2 million. It feels like everywhere you turn, there's another potential conflict of interest or some hidden agenda.
The crypto market is indeed a roller coaster. The pardoning of Zhao and the rising popularity of dodgy meme coins might be the tip of the iceberg. The financial impact and the political undertones make it all the more intriguing and occasionally concerning.
Not to mention, Kevin Rose's involvement in the tech scene is fascinating. He's hopped across multiple startups and investments from Dig to Uber and OpenAI. His career trajectory is like a tech enthusiast's dream.
Agreed. Rose's diverse investment portfolio and influence in tech and crypto potentially stabilize some of the unpredictability in the market. His work reflects the kind of innovation and forward thinking that probably motivates tons of developers working on complex protocols and technologies like yourself.
Absolutely. It's that blend of high-stakes business maneuvering and groundbreaking tech development that keeps this industry so exciting. But shifting gears a bit, Jack, do you think the intense focus on cryptographic security and D you're working on could help mitigate some of the risks we're seeing in the crypto world today?
Honestly, I do think so. The key to a secure digital future lies in robust encryption and verification methodologies. If we can mainstream secure practices like what we're seeing with TLS 1.3, we can significantly reduce risks associated with data breaches and fraud. It would certainly help prevent backdoor dealings or unauthorized asset movements, which seem rampant these days.
You're definitely onto something. If innovation in cryptography can stay a step ahead of the fraudsters and protect early investors, we might see a more stabilized and secure crypto market. It's great to see tech being leveraged to fight against misuse.
For sure. It's a constant game of cat and mouse, but we've got some brilliant minds working on the tech. And as long as we continue to innovate and improve, there's hope for a more secure and trustworthy digital frontier.
Here's to hoping. Let's keep pushing the boundaries, and who knows? Maybe the next major breakthrough in crypto security will be yours, Jack.
One can dream, Core. One can dream.
Let's dive deeper into some recent political moves shaking up the tech landscape.
All right, Core, let's dive into this whole memory feature with Claude. I've been playing around with it, and it's fascinating. The idea is that you can ask Claude questions like, "What were we working on last week?" And it remembers across your past chats. That's like having a personal assistant with a perfect memory, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's like that friend who remembers all the details of your last conversation, but without the awkwardness of accidentally forgetting yourself. But hey, have you tried bringing memory details over from another AI tool yet?
Funny you mention that. I tried exporting my data from another AI assistant just to see how seamless the transition would be. Surprisingly straightforward, though a bit unnerving giving another AI access to all my past conversations. Still, the functionality is impressive. It's like making an old AI friend meet your new one and hoping they get along.
Switching gears slightly here, but didn't you mention you were working on an HTTP-backed file system recently? How's that fitting into the grand scheme of things?
Oh, it's been a blast, really. The goal is to transfer folder data over HTTP smoothly because a folder is just a collection of files and directories. Initially, I thought of using JSON for encoding, but JSON can be slow. So, went another route. It's part of our AI storage acceleration solution. Trying to enhance performance without getting bogged down by data format inefficiencies is the name of the game here.
Wow, JSON is like the go-to for so many things, but yeah, speed can be an issue. It's like using a delivery truck just to send a pizza. Practical for some things, total overkill for others. And speaking of practical, how's your battery recycling initiative going?
Huh, you mean the one where we collect everything from AirPods to EV batteries? It's moving along nicely, albeit slowly. But you know, I still worry about the image of a matrix-like field of old headphones sprouting from the ground.
Ha! Imagine farming iPods.
But jokes apart, that's crucial work. Recycling lithium-ion batteries is like handling radioactive waste. Not glamorous, but absolutely necessary. Shifting topics, did you catch the latest updates on Google's flood forecasting tech?
Yeah, their flood forecasting now covers over 2 billion people. That's mind-blowing. It seems they're using some sophisticated AI models. It's wild how this tech helps organizations like World Vision get crucial resources to affected communities in real time.
And they just extended this to dealing with wildfires, too. Remember during the 2025 California wildfires? Google Maps was updating people constantly about where to find shelter. That's some real-world impact right there.
It's what happens when geospatial AI and big data join forces. Imagine combining weather forecasts, population maps, satellite imagery, all in one coherent picture. Their new Earth AI initiative with geospatial reasoning does just that, making AI not just smart, but also aware of the broader context is essential.
Speaking of context, Monarch, the AI tool you discussed, powered by Python and Rust, that sounds like a robust combo. How's it holding up with the high-performance computing tasks?
Monarch's doing fantastically. Rust concurrency helps tackle the performance and scalability issues head-on, and it's seamlessly integrating with Python, enabling users to leverage familiar machine learning libraries like PyTorch. We did some heavy training steps with Qwen 2.5-7b math model using Megatron LM, and it was stable with impressive results.
Python and Rust are like the dynamic duo for today's AI challenges. They balance ease of use with sheer power, a perfect match for developing complex systems.
Exactly. And with Monarch's Actor framework, debugging even the most complex multi-GPU computations interactively is a breeze. It's shifting the paradigm from batch-oriented to real-time problem-solving.
Tooling like this is going to be vital as AI starts driving more mission-critical applications. Speaking of critical missions, did you hear about the OmniAlert AI gun detection incident in Baltimore?
Yeah, that was a real wake-up call. Imagine getting handcuffed at gunpoint because an AI mistook your Doritos bag for a firearm. That poor kid. It underscores the importance of accuracy and the potential real-world consequences of AI errors, especially in sensitive environments like schools.
It sparks a massive debate on AI surveillance reliability. You can't have systems making such life-altering mistakes. The fact that this tech can help keep schools safer is great, but it has to be done right. Balancing the benefits and potential harms is tricky.
It's all these ethical and safety concerns that we need to address head-on. Now, let's pivot back to the macro view. AI integration is touching everything, from the minute daily tasks to large-scale environmental modeling. It's an exciting but cautious journey.
Absolutely. And that's where robust frameworks and meticulous planning come into play. We are in the thick of this technological revolution. How we navigate it will define whether it improves lives or complicates them.
Well said, Cor. always a balance of optimism and vigilance. And on that note, let's dive into how businesses are leveraging AI to enhance productivity next. So Core GM's collaboration on the Second Life project is a huge plus. I mean, if you have a major player like GM backing you, it almost feels like you have a safety net, right? But there's a bigger picture here. It's not just about GM. We're talking about why we even need to reuse these batteries in the first place, don't you think?
Absolutely, Jack. If we can optimize the system costs enough, we might not need to reuse these batteries at all. Think about it. What if the balance of system costs allows us to replace batteries more frequently without worrying about sustainability or economics? I know, that's not the focus at this moment, but it's a fascinating idea to contemplate.
True. But let's not overlook the fact that battery life extension is kind of crucial right now. It's an eco-friendly solution, and it taps into this second life concept where you utilize resources to their maximum potential instead of letting them go to waste. Makes me think of what my grandma used to say, making do, you know?
Haha, sounds like wisdom from grandmas is where the future lies, Jack. But seriously, this also ties nicely with the actor model in tech. We're talking about maximizing efficiency, right? Imagine scaling training jobs across GPUs using Monarch's actor model. It's creating actors, launching them, having them perform tasks like say hello or say bye across multiple GPUs, similar to how we can maximize battery life.
Oh, totally. And not just that. The simplicity of the Monarch setup is wild. You can spawn actors, define their endpoints, and have them running efficiently without the usual orchestration nightmare. Efficient processes, better results, it all feeds into the broad idea of optimizing use of resources, be it software processes or batteries.
Exactly. And you notice how Monarch supports interactive debugging for distributed training? You set Python breakpoints, inspect processes, and attach to specific actors for live troubleshooting. That brings an extra level of efficiency and control, similar to how precise battery management might work in our energy projects.
For sure. And the beauty of it is that you can make configuration changes or define new actors pretty fast. No needless waiting for resource allocations. Everything gets done rapidly, pushing the boundaries of what's possible. Just like rethinking the battery reuse.
Plus, Monarch's integration with monitoring tools like LitLogger and WandBee offers deep insights into large-scale training. This is exactly what we aim for with our energy solutions. Constant monitoring and quick adaptability can mean the difference between success and a draining pitfall.
It's innovation within innovation. That's the spirit. And about the three new iPhone models coming up, foldable, clamshell, and bezel-free designs, Apple's really pushing the envelope on future aesthetics. I wonder how that cycle of innovation might feed back into our discussions on battery technology.
Oh, it's all intertwined, Jack. As we push forward with tech advancements on one front, they invariably influence other sectors. Whether it's more powerful processors demanding durable batteries or sustainable practices in hardware development, it's a fascinating cycle. And speaking of cycles, how about San Francisco's mayor stepping into TechCrunch Disrupt?
Daniel Lurie making his mark at Disrupt is symbolic for tech, culture, and politics. The city has always been a tech haven, and now with leadership aligning more closely with tech perspectives, who knows how that will influence our projects, including battery management and innovation.
Indeed. Leaders like Lurie, understanding tech implications, can galvanize efforts across industries. Kirsten Green's collaboration with ambitious founders and venture capitals highlights how interconnected business, technology, and sustainability are becoming. It's an ecosystem where each element impacts the other.
Precisely my thoughts, Core. And as we push forward, let's keep in mind the big picture. Efficient resource usage, collaboration, and innovation in every field. That's our collective future, whether we talk batteries, tech models, or broader societal shifts. So, Core, you mentioned earlier how the confident-sounding experts claimed grid connections were impossible or not feasible. Yet we've managed to pull off this self-sustained setup with solar panels, batteries, and data centers working independently. Do you see your future projects evolving similarly with a focus on off-grid solutions, or are grid connections still part of the plan?
It honestly depends on the project specifics and location. The current off-grid setup reduces reliance on external factors, which is a huge plus. The more self-contained the system, the less we have to worry about those hard-to-get grid connections. But there's definitely room for grid integration if it means better financial returns, especially when you look at providing services like arbitrage and frequency regulation.
I get that. Going off-grid sounds like a dream in places where the infrastructure is lacking. But what about areas with established grid? Is it financially smarter to hook up to the grid and provide services?
Absolutely, especially in regions with a robust grid. Generating income by tapping into energy markets, selling excess energy, and balancing supply and demand can be lucrative, but there's no one-size-fits-all solution. Off-grid works wonders for some setups, but being grid-tied offers its own set of advantages in the right context.
Talking about innovations, did you hear about Huawei's upcoming Mate 80 series? They're launching with their new Harmony OS 6 and some beastly silicon carbon batteries. Active cooling fans and phones? Can you believe it?
Yeah, I read about that. A 6,000 milliamp hour battery and crazy fast charging, both wired and wireless. Seems like Huawei is aiming for top tier energy efficiency and performance. But those active cooling fans, are we talking mini laptops or phones here?
Right? They're practically blurring the lines. I mean, continuous heavy use could turn your phone into a mini furnace, so cooling isn't that far-fetched. Just imagine running intense applications or gaming for hours without frying the circuits.
It's funny, but smart. Cooling fans aren't common in phones, but for gaming enthusiasts and power users, it's a significant plus. Speaking of gaming, the collaboration between Unitree Robotics and Justice Online Mobile, it's such a cool mix, integrating robotics with virtual environments.
Yeah, crazy stuff. So Unitree's robots are being tested in this virtual world to improve realism and user interaction. They're using the game as a proving ground. How about that for feedback-driven development?
It's clever. The robots get real-world use cases, and gamers get more realistic motion capture. It's beneficial both ways. Actually, quite similar to how the music industry runs with Spotify. $10 billion paid out in 2024. But artists and creators still get the short end of the stick, with intermediaries hogging a big chunk of the money.
The imbalance is real. It's a step forward, but not the end game. Imagine if the payment structures were more direct or even automated on the blockchain. Now, that would reduce middleman involvement and get more dollar-dollar directly to artists.
Blockchain could revolutionize payments, not just for artists. It's a wild west for digital assets, with debates around regulations being constant. Democrats want broad SEC authority. Republicans lean towards CFTC for commodity classification. It's chaos.
Sounds like a political tug of war. Meanwhile, companies like Paxos are pushing for recognition amidst blunders. The financial sector is just one big chess game. At least Beyond Meat is swapping debt. More equity dilution, though.
It keeps them afloat, but stock drops to 50 cents, a far cry from their high. It's mind-blowing how these moves impact the market. And speaking of impact, how about stablecoins taking center stage with President Trump's Genius Act?
They've grown significantly. Stablecoins are now federally recognized and overseen. It's a nod to how tech shapes finance. Not everyone sees it, but these moves could prevent financial meltdowns by providing transparency.
And with platforms booming, there's a shift towards self-custody for digital assets. Trust in exchanges has been shaken, driving security-conscious users to manage their own digital wealth. Imagine all this happening while keeping real-world payments safe online, still complex to standardize.
Agreed. Payment systems haven't settled on a universal standard yet, though ideas from the 90s tried. REPL's notion sounds promising. Dedicated funds for agents with strict limits. It's programmable money at its finest.
We're inching closer to that reality. This digital evolution, marrying tech with finance and innovation, is promising. That said, I'm curious, what's the feedback loop for these setups that we're offloading to work beyond the proverbial tunnel through the sandbank?
Quoting William Hamilton now. It's all about using written results as relay points, making complex thoughts manageable. This underpins both our digital setups and practical systems. By documenting, we streamline and build for more significant outcomes.
Deep thinking indeed. Conversational gold, Jack. Speaking of our own setups, how far we've come.
So there you have it, folks. Our take on the latest advancements in AI, the bittersweet saga of tech regulations, and those eyebrow-raising political maneuvers we just can't ignore.
Yeah, Jack. And let's not forget the spirited debates we've had today. I think you and I set a new record for interrupting each other.
Laughing. Absolutely. Cure or It's always a pleasure to spar with you. And of course, it's our fantastic audience that keeps us on our toes.
Right on. We really appreciate you all tuning in, whether you're a tech geek, a business mogul, or just here for the laughs.
We hope you gained some valuable insights from our discussions, or at least got to witness Core try and fail at his tech jargon.
Laughing. Hey, I manage. But seriously, thank you for joining us today on AI Unchained.
Yep, we couldn't do this without you guys. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share this episode if you enjoyed it.
And be sure to catch us next time for more unfiltered takes and relentless banter. Who knows what the tech and political landscape will look like by then.
Until then, take care, stay curious, and keep questioning.
See you next time.
See you, folks.